Big Hurt Weird Adventures. And welcome to another exciting episode of Big Heck and Weird Adventures. I am your host, Mr. Fast and Furious himself, aka the Messiah of Anime, Big Heck. And along with me, as always, he is the one, the only, your friendly neighborhood podcaster, Wade Ilson. Good brother, Wade, what is going on?
Good brother, it is so great to be back on the mic with you, bro, and it's lavish to be here. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing great.
Rhea's playing with
the squeaky toys, as usual. You know what it is.
I know.
The pup is a lovely thing. I got my WrestleMania tickets. I'm very hyped for that.
You're going to be in there.
I'm going to be in there like swimwear. But
there we go.
For this episode, we had to bring in a very special guest.
Yes, indeed.
A very, very special guest. Heck, do we have one special guest or we have two? I just need to make sure if we're on the same page here.
Okay, so unfortunately, at the moment, it is one, unless we can have our second special guest come on, even though the little one is still up.
Okay.
So I believe she's making her way downtown, walking fast.
Face is passing, she's homebound. But can we introduce our first special guest?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a very special guest. I would normally do a lavish, luxurious intro for them, but I just want to let you know, not only is he a hero in the podcast world, he's a hero in the real streets out here. So I'm going to let my brother introduce himself. Go ahead, man.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Hero Harrison Talk here, man. And I appreciate y'all. First off, let me come on your show. It's a humongous pleasure, you know, being around big comic nerds just like me and just people who are blurs in the fandom. So, I'm excited to be here, and I can't wait to talk about Zack Snyder's vision with you guys. This is going to be a great podcast.
Oh, yes. And surprise, surprise, guys. We're going to talk about... I can't believe I'm saying this on air. I can't believe we're actually going to do it. I have the biggest smile on my face. I know this is an audio podcast, guys, but we are going to talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League. Yes. Oh, a movie that was very important to us. Shout out to Emmy Boo and Rhea in the background. You guys are here.
Oh, you guys can hear her?
Yeah, we can hear her. They're excited too. They love the movie. Oh, our second special guest is here.
Our second special guest. She is the one, the only. She has been featured on Big Heck and Weird Adventures many multiple times. Ladies and gentlemen, my beautiful and lovely wife, Heel Carm.
Hello.
Hi, Carm.
Hi, how are you guys?
How are you?
It's the first podcast you've been on.
No, I'm sorry. It's just been a really long day today.
I know how that goes.
Yeah.
But she has told us she has some choice words for in regards to that film. So we're just going to get it going, though. Brother Wade, I want you to kick this off.
Okay. So we are going to be speaking about Zack Snyder's Justice League. So, there was rumored anticipation. There was many thoughts of everyone saying, oh, it's not real. It doesn't exist. And we had to deal with the Joss Whedon version. So I'm going to hand it over to Jay. I'm going to ask you the first question. Now, what were your, and be honest, you could be as brutally honest as you want, not extreme, because that's for another episode. What were your thoughts on the Whedon cut?
I absolutely loved everything about this movie from beginning to the end. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And I'm a huge Zack Snyder fan as it is. And I wish that people would realize his vision back then, what he was trying to do, instead of, you know, appreciating it now, because he was trying to form something beautiful. And I think that it was just something beautiful that we saw from beginning to the end in a whole different vision. So this movie just blew me away.
What did you think of the Whedon cut, the original cut that dropped in 2017?
So honestly, I think that the 2017 cut left out too much. So I'm going to be completely honest. How dare they leave out that much of a movie that we should have got from another person's vision, that was trying to make things better for the universe instead of just doing it for the entertainment aspect, you know, because movies are entertainment, yeah, but this was a movie that is so unique that needed to be focused on a universe that's going to make the universe of films and TV movies, comics, whatever, better.
I agree. I'm going to pass it over to Big Heck. Oh, you want Hill Karm to go first? Wow, you really throwing her out there. Well, Hill Karm, same question. What did you think about the Whedon cut?
The Whedon cut. Okay. So, obviously, I think we all went to go see that in the theater. And watching it and seeing it, like, I guess, condensed down, there was a lot of questions while watching said movie. And, you know, the horrible CGI is number one. And, you know, it left a lot of questions. It left a lot of like you didn't understand where this was going. I always felt like there was something missing in this movie. Something that they weren't explaining right. It was just like, to me, it felt like he took what he did with Marvel and he tried to do it for DC. That was exactly how I felt watching the movie. It just reminded me of something that Marvel would do, and he just tried to do it for DC, which pisses me off because it's like you spent all this money to get this director, and the movie was basically done. All he needed to come is just like fine tweak it, maybe do like a couple scenes like in his own way, but it was so much that it wasn't DC and like watching it. And now like really like comparing the two movies, to me, the Whedon cut was just like cookie cutter superhero kind of movie. It didn't bring anything in. It didn't help DC in any way, shape or form. I think it hurt it a lot. This cut hurt the DC franchise so much. It was a huge mistake to bring him in. It was a mistake then, and now seeing the Snyder cut, it's still a mistake. He brought nothing to this franchise. I didn't like the Whedon cut, and in my opinion, it just left out. I hated Aquaman in that movie. He was just such a bro. It was just not his character. You know, I had a lot of issues with that movie. And, you know, I just feel like Warner Brothers made a huge mistake when it came to that. And in my point of view, now thinking about it, I think if Snyder needed a few months to a year to get over everything that was going on in his family, they should have given it, and they should have delayed Justice League so we can get the actual movie that was needed. That is my opinion. We'll do it. That's within Virgin sucks and will forever suck. It is a horrible movie, and I'm completely disappointed in like it took this long for us to get the Snyder cut, and then Josh Whedon just like literally sat there and just pooped all over this franchise. That's my opinion. I don't like it. I didn't curse. Wow. Good.
Okay. Karm kept it clean. Here's the moment we've all been dreading, guys. Before I give my honest opinion about the movie,
you can go first if you want.
I'm gonna ask. Oh, I can.
I'll wait.
All right. So, out of respect, I'm gonna be short and sweet to everybody. So, seeing the Whedon cut I saw it with you guys. We went to the theater that day, and I said, you know what? It is what it is. I'll take it for what it is. It's cool, but. No, you know, I went in and said, okay, certain scenes were cool. Like, I loved the Batman in the beginning scene. I loved, what else did I love? I loved Wonder Woman scene. And I just took it for what it was. But then I kept hearing through the internet, oh, there's a Snyder cut. Like, that's not his movie. And I was like, you know what? Watching it, I'm like, you're right. Besides the terrible CGI, a lot of the plot was changed. Or flipped around, everything was just going crazy in that for me. Seeing the Snyder cut and comparing the two, you're just like night and day, legit, actually night and day, because the way Snyder shot the movie, it's very dark. And when we talk about certain scenes and things, how they played out, you're like, wow, that was completely the opposite of what Snyder was trying to do. And I'm gonna bite Karm here. he tried to do the Marvel formula in a world in a DC film universe that never goes that route or never attempts anything like that. But I'm gonna hand it over to Big Heck. Big Heck, the floor is yours, brother.
Thank you. So I normally go on a rant and I go on a tangent and I go completely unhinged, but I made promises to people that I wouldn't do that this time. Initially, when we saw the Whedon cut, again, we said we were going to take it for what it was. We took it at its weight. Were there some positive notes to it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, you had the iconic Wonder Woman scene when she first comes in. You had, you know, you had a classic Batman. Well, we got Batfleck, which is, to me, first and foremost, aside from Keaton, he's the best Batman we've had ever.
Ever.
Point blank. I don't care what anyone says. You can sit there, you can fight me, you can debate me on it. I don't want to hear it. It falls on
deaf ears.
Batfleck, hey, to me, since Keaton, and the reason why I hold Keaton in such high regards, because 89 Batman and Batman Returns are still, like, in my heart of hearts, two of the best films. So, thank you, Tim Burton. You're a godsend. Batfleck was amazing on it. I really did enjoy him, and I loved the way that Batman and Ben Affleck and Jeremy Irons played off each other. Like, his Alfred is top notch.
Yes.
I dare say he is better than Michael Caine, and I love Michael Caine.
Oh, like, yeah.
I have to agree with Big Heck on that.
Huh? Jeremy Irons is the shit. Jeremy Irons gives me MI6 vibes of Alfred.
Yes.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan favorite of Barry in the Whedon cut. He was a little too quirky for me, which wasn't one of the things I liked. I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan. Aquaman was
a bro. Say what it is. He was a bro.
And don't get me wrong. Like, for it to come out like a couple of times, yeah, that would have been all right. But he was more broish than I would have cared for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we didn't get enough Cyborg in the film.
Yeah, yeah. I have to back you up on that, Heck, just because, number one, I think with Ben Affleck, first off, I just want to say he's the best Batman. If you can disagree, that's fine. It's just that in this perspective, you have to look at who Batman is from, like, different portrayals, and you have to compare him to each actor. But looking at the actors, even like when it comes to the personality and physique, Ben Affleck, unfortunately, for some people who don't like him, it lines up. He lines up perfectly in that realm, playing absolutely Batman.
If you got to look at it this way, Ben Affleck, when he was approached for the role in BVS, he took the role serious. He trained, he worked out. The man ate and ate and ate until he couldn't eat anymore. And what I like about him, he's a very methodic actor. He actually goes the same distance, and he takes the same length of preparation and everything else, like a fellow, one of his fellow actors, Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy has been known time and time again, who is a very method actor, that he puts his body through the ringer. He did it in Bane. He did it in Bronson. He's done it multiple times. He will fluctuate his weight to meet the standards of the role.
But you know who's also like that too? Like, Henry Cavill is also like
that. Henry Cavill has been like that.
And
I will give Christian Bale nod. I will give him a nod. That man has gone from extreme weights to extreme fatness to extreme skinny anorexia.
You're right.
Like, yeah.
1,000%.
But I will say this. If I had to compare Bale to Affleck, I guess what? Affleck wins hand over fist.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Hey, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it is what it is. Now, if you wanted to compare Snyder versus Nolan as far as their Batman, Nolan took a very more detective role. He took a more non-comic book role in his Batman. That's why we didn't get the voice changer box in the cowl. We got the gargled, raspy, I have throat cancer sound. Sorry.
You know what? we can talk about Batman. We can talk right. about the different right. Batmans. But let's get into what the meat of the story is. Let's right. talk about the Snyder Cut itself, which I'm going to say up front, and this is bold. This is a big statement from me. You guys know I love Wonder Woman. I love that movie to my core. Zack Snyder's Justice League is number one for me. Zack Snyder's Justice League has moved up so quickly in that amount of time. That is just amazing to me. But I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to throw it back to the good brother here, Harris, and I'm going to throw it to him again. All right, my question is, how do you feel about Cyborg's change and the Flash's change from what we got in the original cuts, in the original cut and compared to the Snyder cut now? How do you feel about it? Because I have so many mixed opinions about it. Go ahead, I'll let you talk.
Okay, Cyborg, number one, as far as the changes, I think that I was honestly waiting to see his suit get buffed out just a little bit more. Because you think Zack Snyder would enhance that a little bit because he enhanced Steppenwolf.
Right.
So it's surprising that he didn't buff up Cyborg's suit, which I didn't. I guess it fits for this universe. You can get away with it, but I prefer to see him a little more buffed out. And as far as Flash, I've had to agree with Heck. First off, his personality is a little too quirky for me because he's not that kind of guy. And I will say this. I like Flash better in the suit than I did outside the suit. Because I think that we got more of what we're going to see eventually, because we're not going to get the serious Flash. He's not going to be like that serious role. So I think, long story short, I think there are a lot of differences. And I think that I'm surprised also, last thing, is that he didn't change the lightning for Flash from yellow to, you know, from blue. So that was a little surprising. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it though.
Cyborg and MVP. Cyborg was the MVP of the movie for me. He was a major key in the movie.
Yes.
I am so upset with what Joss Whedon did to Ray Fisher outside, but we're going to talk about that another time. Let's talk about the movie. Cyborg was the heart, and one of the scenes that hit me the hardest when it came to him. Well, actually two, I'm not going to lie. When he did what he did and his father was explaining to him basically like, You can control the world, cyber world, any way possible. You can take money from people. You can do this, you can do that. And what was the first thing he did with all his powers besides his first flight, which was another beautiful scene? He helped that mother out. That hit me to my core. Like, that's what a hero does. And he didn't expect anything from it. He didn't want anything from it. He did it because he felt right. And that played into what he did earlier, when he hacked his friend's grades to help her because she was going through some outside stuff with her family. So it showed that Cyborg or Victor Stone was a hero even before his tragic accident that happened with his mom. And Barry Allen was another thing too. No, you gonna say something here? Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying, I didn't really answer your other question, was what moment hit. I think I was gonna agree with you, is that moment hit me. Like, that was like, really heroic. You know, he didn't use his powers. Well, he kind of did, but he used them not for bad. He didn't do like rob a bank. He gave someone money who was in need of it. Mm-hmm. And it's I feel like the origin was perfect. And I think that his origin, I'm so upset that Josh Whedon did not put that in there, because Cyborg is a huge, huge, humongous key to when it comes to Teen Titans and even Justice League. So he saves the world a lot. People don't know that.
He does. He's one of the unsung heroes when it comes to the DC universe. Now, I may be against it. I actually liked Barry Allen in this movie over what he did in the Whedon cut. I owe Ezra Miller the hugest apology ever right now. I am so sorry. He wasn't bad. His man, listen, that scene with Iris, and I know Hill Karm is like chomping at the bit to go at it. I'm gonna let her have it. All I'm gonna say is, Ezra Miller, I can't wait for your movie. It's gonna be fun. I loved your scenes, especially that end scene, which we're gonna talk about.
Part 6,
we're gonna get into it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm gonna let Hill Karm have the floor. Hillcarm, what were your thoughts on the two unsung heroes in our eyes, Cyborg and Flash in the Snyder Cut? Go ahead.
So, Cyborg, let's start off. For me, I always like Cyborg. You know, they said unsung hero. Definitely he is, I know this is just a mom and me, but Teen Titans Go, if anyone watches that, he is like one of my favorite characters also on Teen Titans Go. What I noticed was like in the Whedon cut, Cyborg and scenes were cut. We didn't really get to know this character and know his backstory. It was as if you assume like you know who he is. And you know, when it comes to that, I felt like Snyder definitely, you know, sat there and was like, no, let's give props where props is due. Cyborg, he is, you know, we're gonna bring Justice League, we're gonna bring the motherboard. Cyborg needs to be front and center. He needed to be told his story, who he was, where he came from, you know, this not all of a sudden, you know, this inner fight that he had with himself, you know, the thing that he become, you know, without his permission, you know, his dad did this because he didn't want to lose his son. So he had to battle that. You know, and be like, you know, and also with Diana coming up to him and talking to him at first, like you, when you see the first cut, like, oh, you know, and when you see the second cut, you kind of understand where he was coming from because he didn't really know what his purpose was. And it was just like little things here and there, his father tape recording, which I was really mad that they cut it in like the first movie that
again
pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. In this one you needed it because this is what helped him put in perspective of what he was meant to do, why he was here. And like I said, my part was definitely that when I saw him sit there and help this mom out with her son, knowing that you saw her in her like uniform, in her diner uniform, so you knew she was working to the ends of, you know, probably the day and have the tiny bit of money left to try to feed her kid. And here he comes and just like, here you go, here's your reward. And just like he also, it also helped him. I think it also turned on that light bulb in his head, like, wait, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to be a hero. I'm meant to help people. Like, this is, yes, you know, I may no longer be human, but I, you know, I still have my humanity. This is what I am meant to do. Mm-hmm. That, and I like the fact that we saw a lot of Cyborg in mm-hmm. this cut. This was I was really happy with his.
Carm, you hit me in my heartstrings. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you hit me in my heartstrings a little bit. You getting me? I'm like, go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, when it comes to him, he lost, and he lost a lot. And he, out of all the characters in that movie, he's the one that lost the most.
Yep, I agree.
And so it was just to see him and see like the turn that he made. It was just, it just like it hits you. And I was just like, we needed this cut, and especially with times like it is right now, we needed something like this because it does help if you are grieving with loss and things like that. This. His story, it helps you in a way, and I yeah. think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It's just like it was like, wow, you know, you see yourself a little bit in his character because of what he went through. So for me, I enjoyed Cyborg so much more in this cut than I did in Whedon's cut because I felt like he just put him there and it was like, oh, you know. He has to go and, you know, be part of Justice League. He's forced, you know, whatever. Like, you're supposed to know everything about him already. Mm-hmm. And for me, Flash, I know, like, some people didn't enjoy Flash. I loved him in this one. I loved him in this cut. He was actually one of, like, you know, we needed it. It is, yes, DC is dark and stuff. But like, his character and how he is, like, he was always trying to see the bright side of things. And I think you needed a character like that to see the brighter side of things. I know I'm gonna enjoy Ezra Miller's Flash movie. I'm going to. It saw like the character that he was in this movie. And you know what? Even that one scene where he tripped wasn't as bad as it was in the Whedon cut. It made him seem like he was this big, clumsy, didn't know what he was doing. And it wasn't like that. When you saw what happened, why he tripped, and things like that, it wasn't like it was done because he didn't know what he was doing. It was just because some things, you know, it was just like that one scene when Superman was seeing him, that's why he tripped. The other time, it was because he had so much momentum that it, you know, it's only up to so much his body can go through. So I feel like, you know, he was quirky. He did have his quirks, but we needed that. And I think in Whedon's cut, they kind of made him seem like a bit of a buffoon.
He
like
overplayed the quirky.
Way
overplayed it. They made him a goofball.
Like, he didn't know what he was doing. He just got thrown in the pot. Like, he hasn't been trying to harness it and doing what he needed to do. In Snyder's cut, you saw that he knew what he was doing. And he knew how to use his power and how much of his power could be used. And he knew if he broke this like speed of light, what could happen, like things like that. So I knew that he knows his power. He knows what he can do. And I
agree. That
I just don't like him in the Whedon cut. I love him in here. I can't wait for his movie. That is definitely the next movie I'm looking forward to in this DC. Franchise. So that's just my opinion.
I think that, I agree to back up you a little bit. I just think that what they did, plain and simple, what I was going to say, is that they left out a longer origin for these heroes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And it wasn't fair because we didn't get to explore them or even understand them. So when people complain, when they go to the movies, like, oh, I didn't get to know that person enough. Well, then why did you ask for the Whedon cut?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of origin stories were just not told, and we got more of this origin. So
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I don't think that we necessarily asked for the Whedon cut. everything was happening with Zack
Snyder. I think he meant the Snyder cut.
Yeah, with Zack Snyder's cut. You know, I think what ended up happening, and I always say it cuts up to greed at the end of the day. The WB wanted something to be cut. Immediately be done and stripped let's make money of being like, which, you know, instead of I'm blaming DC for this 100%, instead of being like, you know what, no, let's take our time, let's give him some time, we'll push back the movie a little bit, it might cost us, but at the end we will probably be making that back.
And the funny thing is it didn't. They needed a better plan. DC, not before I let Heck go in, because I know he's got a lot to say about Cyborg and Flash. My thoughts are, and I'm going to actually put these out there. This is something I just learned. Snyder didn't get paid off of this cut at all. He wanted his vision done, so he just put it out there. And he's like, listen, the movie was 99% done. Exactly. The clamoring from the fans and the love and all that he put into it. And all he wanted to do was make sure his vision was presented. And I love That's all he wanted. And I feel I am eternally grateful that he got to put his movie out. Like, he got to see his vision. Not many directors get to do that. And it's something that we have to cherish. I mean, I talk about this movie like literally every day. Like, everybody who hasn't seen it yet, I go to them like, yo, have you seen the Snyder Cut? I'm not watching a 4-hour movie. Doesn't even feel like it.
Why not? Everyone's out there and watch The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
Irishman was a 4-hour film.
Mm-hmm. You're not gonna compare Irishman to Justice
League. I'm comparing the length of the film.
Yeah.
People who have sat there and have given it praise and given it high remarks, you know, they sat there and they're like, oh, this is like one of the greatest films ever. Why? Because it's got Pacino and it's got De Niro. Okay, great. It's a 4-hour film. If you can sit through The Irishman, you can sit through this. And not for nothing, this is one of the films where 4 hours doesn't feel like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. It didn't. It didn't feel like that at all. And you know what? If you had an issue with it, it was broken down in 6 chapters that you could easily digest. But heck, I'm going to ask you, what did you think about Cyborg and Flash?
I loved Ray Fisher as Cyborg. I thought he was great. Snyder gave us the origin story that we needed for Cyborg, because he wasn't given the chance to do it prior.
Mm-hmm.
My whole take on this is, everyone's like, oh, you should have did an origin piece on everybody beforehand. That wasn't his call. So what did Zach do? He improvised. He incorporated two origin stories right within Justice League. So we didn't feel lost. Or for the ones who are not well-versed in the comic lore, mm-hmm. they weren't well-versed in it, they got what they needed. Cyborg in this film, to me, is... he's a lost soul. And mm-hmm. you get to see him on his journey, and you get to finally see that at the end, he finds himself. It's a coming of age story for him. He finds himself, he forgets himself, he forgets his father. And now it's like, you know, like it's a self-awakening. And I love every single part of it. I agree with Jay. I kind of wish they would have enhanced the armor a little bit, especially towards the end, because he's starting to know who he is more. So they would have buffed out the pieces a little bit, because we did get that in Whedon. Like at the end of the Whedon cut, you see that he does morph, and like his armor does acclimate to what he envisions himself as. I would have thought we would have got that with this, but it probably would have happened in the Cyborg movie that was supposed to come out, but is no longer coming out. Ezra Miller in this, hands down, infinitely better Flash. Mm-hmm. Infinitely. And again, it goes back to what we were saying. He was less quirky. He was less... You know what I compare it to? It's almost like... he's almost like a Peter Parker in the Whedon version. He's a Sam Raimi Peter Parker. He's super goofy. He's over the top. It's just... it's extra when it doesn't need to be. Snyder's cut was spot on. So it was more jokey, more playful. And that's who Barry Allen is. When you look at who the character is, he's jokey, he's playful, especially when he's in the Flash suit. He's a sarcastic character from beginning to end. Like he will sit there and throw jabs and joke with you the whole time. Mm-hmm. You see it in like Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah. No, that was Wally. That's Wally. Correct me.
Oh, that's Wally?
That's Wally in Unlimited. Okay. I mean, you know what? And I don't mean to cut Hero off. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I feel that the Flash we got was a mix of Barry and Wally in one
and
shot.
And it played well.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It played well for Snyder. Mm-hmm. I only had one issue with the whole thing, especially with Flash and with Cyborg, is I find it really funny how Ezra Miller has to run in this film. Like it looks like he's constantly like throwing something when he runs, and it kind of gives me like Wanda like Spirit Finger vibes. It's weird.
He explained that.
Again with the explanation. Mm-hmm. But again, like when you first see it, it looks kind of weird. But it's fine. Cyborg being the unsung, like he's supposed to be the focal point because of everything. And I'm glad that he finally does, they give him that shine. So I'm, in comparison to like the Whedon versus Snyder, like it's, again, it's going to be unanimously better than it was for Whedon's.
Mm-hmm. Day and night comparisons.
Absolutely.
Let's see, what's the next question I have? Because, man, I mean, we could talk about this movie. We can literally turn a 4-hour movie into... Okay, what's your question? I want to hear this one.
So, like we've been doing, I'm going to kick it over to Brother Harrelson here. It has to be said, it has to be mentioned. How hard did you pop when you finally saw the black suit?
Oh, I jumped out of my damn seat, man. Because here's the thing. When he was going through the ship and he was looking at all the suits, I was like, wow. Like, and I even saw his original suit, and I was like, oh, you're not going to put that on. But, I mean, we already seen clips and stuff of that and all that. But still, but just seeing it in the movie, it still surprised me, because that's one of my favorite suits of all time. You know, that's obviously the Death of Superman. And then Superman comes back to life, and then he gets the black suit. But it's just an iconic suit, and I love it. I jumped out of my seat. I'm a Superman fan, so.
Awesome. Kick it over to Heel Karm. Your man, Henry Cavill, comes back. No CGI lip. Black suit.
She about to go in. I'm going to just sit back.
No,
go.
I mean, I think what got to me was seeing him go back to like the ship. Definitely, that's, it's always been like, even with Christopher Reeve, it was the ship to me is also part of him. You know, it taught him where he came from and who he was. And to see him go back to the ship, to see him see all of these different suits, and to kind of put on the black one, which is a little like I think we were both discussing how it just mm-hmm. reminds of like his dad, like, you know, he like channeled it and it was just like, that's the suit I'm gonna wear. And seeing him in the black suit was just like, this was how it was supposed to be. And I got really excited. I got a little tearful. I'm like, this was how it was supposed to be. The black suit, this was like
beautiful.
Damn it, I don't understand how you came back at it right.
I know.
There for you.
So for the record, as she was watching this, I was in the middle of my class and I heard her go, ah! And I was like, oh, I gotta mute my mic. I'm in the middle of class right now. I'm like, click.
I was like, oh, I am so sorry. I was very excited. I was very happy to see him back. And like I said, without the
CGI.
Look, I hate that scene in the beginning of the movie. Okay, don't even, but it, you know, and seeing how this time it, even when he did come back to life, it took him a little longer. Because he, even like with Lois, it wasn't that he recognized right away with Lois. It took him a little longer to even realize who she was. He was drawn to her, but it wasn't because it was Lois. He was just drawn to her because he knows that this is someone that he cares about deeply, but he didn't know who the hell she was. And I think I liked that scene. It was better. It was like, you know, he came back and he had no idea who he was. It took him some time. He knew, like, okay, these are my powers, but who the hell am I? It wasn't Clark. It wasn't Kal-El. It was just that he came back and he was like, what the hell's going on? I enjoyed his scene. I enjoyed Superman's scene very much. I was very happy with how it was done. The black suit was just that icing on the cake for me. Like I said, I could talk about this movie forever. I was so happy with how it was done, how it was cut, how it was just like, this was the movie we were supposed to get. And now let's kick it over to Mr. Wade here. How did you feel seeing him in the black suit?
I felt great with it. I loved it. Superman, who won me over as a hero. In the DC universe, because honestly, I will tell you this, I am not the biggest Superman fan. Batman beat him fair and square in the DCEU movie. He did not cheat. Sorry.
We're not going to go there.
No, I respect that.
I was going to just say, for the sake of time, we're not having this debate.
I know, right, we're not going to have this debate. But talking about Superman, I love the black suit. It was great. Fun fact, did you know that Zack Snyder actually went to Warner Bros. And was like, hey, listen, can we give him the mullet? And they were like, nah, you black suit. Yeah, we'll give you black suit. We'll give you black suit. And that's it.
I heard about that. I don't want the mullet, though.
Yeah, I'm fine without the mullet. He looks great in the black suit to me. Mm-hmm. And I bet you did, but seeing him in the black suit. And plus on top of that, the way he mollywopped Steppenwolf. He beat the bricks off of Steppenwolf.
He was beating him just over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is what we got.
Yeah, he did. That's the thing about Superman in this film. He didn't hold back. And I think Josh Whedon, I think Josh Whedon toned down a lot of these characters because Big Heck and Wade, I have to say this too. Still, like I said, I'm not trashing the Whedon version, but and Patty Jenkins and Wonder Woman and stuff. But how come Wonder Woman looked better in the first 5 minutes than Wonder Woman in both of her films?
Yo, like,
look, I'm just being honest. Because if you think about it, when we see her just going through and just like dodging bullets and nothing is phasing her, that's my Wonder Woman. Okay. Wonder Woman's supposed to be ruthless and doesn't care, and she's gonna take a lot of hits, which she did. Mm-hmm. But guess what? She's Wonder Woman. She gets right back up and she uppercuts you into space. So.
Yep. She even correct me if I'm wrong between the party here, but didn't she get hit with one of the bullets at some point?
She
I
could
have sworn she went at some point.
Yeah.
I think it was the one that hit her in the back, and then she just looked at him like.
Yep. Telling you, man, that's the thing. This is what I was gonna just say. It's just that I think that Wonder Woman is way different from Zack Snyder's version than from Patty Jenkins' version.
Absolutely, it's a night and day.
Oh yeah, it's a night and day. But you know what the thing is? I'm glad he still incorporated what Patty Jenkins was trying to put out. Like,
right?
Yeah, we saw the Warrior. That's who he deals with. I feel Zack Snyder loves the Warrior version of Wonder Woman, and Patty Jenkins is the sympathetic. She will show love to humankind because she's learning how to love and show emotion to everybody. And we saw that. Exactly, which is great.
Like the human version.
Yeah.
The human version of Wonder Woman, which is what we got. And that's another thing that pisses me off about the Whedon version. That whole beautiful scene after she saved everybody and she was talking to that little girl and she's like, you can be anything you want to be. I'm just making sure you're okay. That's the Wonder Woman we're supposed to have in comic book form.
I was like choking up watching that scene. I love it.
That's my Wonder Woman, man. I'm telling you. Zack Snyder does a great job directing. He does a great job of character development.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So. Okay. One thing I have to, real quick. How about the Aquaman scene at the end? Like,
In
Whedon cut, we did not get any of that. And this one, I felt like we got more Aquaman fighting. Like, it was just all of them fighting together. Like, Batman was out there holding up the fort. And then, like, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Superman were in there just fighting while, like, Cyborg is trying to, like, separate these motherboards. I really enjoyed Aquaman fighting with,
I agree. I'm going to have to agree with you on that because I think, you know, we've seen other adaptations of the origin stories told from different people's visions, right, with Aquaman and Superman, all that. But I think that Aquaman in this film was, you know, I think people at first were like, eh. But then as we got the scene in action, we were like, oh, okay. So I think that
I enjoyed him in Wonder Woman scene where they were like beating up on Steppenwolf and everything.
The tag team?
Yes.
The tag team. It worked. And
it felt like a superhero team. It felt like a true superhero team.
Yeah. Well, they are superheroes. But I felt like it worked, and it goes back also to like the beginning of the origins when the Amazons and the Athenians fought together, when, you know, like it went back to that and we saw it again in there. I enjoyed it. I think that was just like the one thing that we didn't get from Aquaman was that part. It was just like he was out there fighting everybody, but once it came to like inside with Steppenwolf, like we didn't get that anymore. It was like Superman and Wonder Woman. That's it. Like Aquaman was just out there.
Playing a major background role. I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, and Aquaman got a little bit more shine in the Snyder Cut also. One thing that we did get to see really quick, we got to see Volko.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mera telling him, like, yo, you need to step up. It was the man who helped raise him. It was the man who trained him. And the one thing I absolutely loved in this part was that you see Volko with not only the spear, his mother's spear, Volko was holding his armor.
That's how he got it.
That's how he got it. Not for nothing. We kind of saw the whole scene in Whedon's cut where he's, you know, just pants and no shirt. And then the next minute he's showing up to Batman and he's in a full suit. Like, where the hell did you get your armor from? Like, bro, you didn't have armor like the whole entire time.
Yeah, what scene? I'm glad that they cut. The stupid lasso scene.
Yeah, the lasso scene with him and what with Wonder Woman and Aquaman, I'm glad that was gone.
Yeah, because that was just for, like I said, the entertainment.
It was the laugh factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't need stuff like that because that's what I'm saying. Zack Snyder works on art versus entertainment. That's why he did it for free. So,
that was the one thing I loved. You know, you see Volko drop the spear, he tells him, he's like, you can't sit the sidelines anymore.
Yeah.
He goes, you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to fight for both worlds. You're going to have to fight for the top as well as the below.
Yeah.
Because it's your time to start doing what you need to do. And drop the armor and told him, pick up your mother's spear and start to fight.
Yep. Rhea agrees with you, Hack. Like 1,000% Rhea agrees with you.
Like it was basically like,
he needs
you know,
to kick Aquaman in the ass.
Get your ass off the couch and start moving.
Yeah. He's like, stop drinking the beers and the chips and playing Fortnite. Get up and do something. Like, you know.
Like, let's go, Lebowski. Start moving.
Yep, exactly. stopped making him look like a bro and made him look like the hero, the king of Atlantis. And now you have to separate it now and say, listen, this is what we would have gotten if these other movies hadn't taken place. Because I would kind of place this right before Wonder Woman. I'd probably do this after BVS, like right after. If you were going to do the timelines properly, I would do this right after BVS. Yeah, this
is right after.
This would follow. Yeah, because
remember, like in the Aquaman movie,
it takes place after Justice League.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but whatever. Well,
the reason why it is what it is because at that point he doesn't have that trident yet. He doesn't have the one that allows him to command the entire ocean.
Exactly. He's not worthy, like Thor. Right.
So that was the whole thing. So that's why Aquaman takes place after JL. And then, you know, pretty much Justice League takes place immediately after BVS.
Yep.
Again, from beginning to end, the movie was just phenomenal. It told the story. It gave what it was supposed to. I know we're running low on time, but really quick. I got to ask everyone, and this is probably like the final thing that we're going to be able to ask. Darkseid. How excited were you? And how hard did you pop that we finally got to see him?
Man, I was so hyped because this is exactly what we've been waiting for. This is just like the Justice League cartoon where Darkseid was going to come to Earth and take over in it. But he failed. And that's exactly like how it was in the comics too. But seeing him on the screen visually was just beautiful because he looked threatening. He looked like people would compare him to Thanos or something like that. But no, he looked like his own character. And that's what I really like about Zack Snyder. He made him look different and he made him like look so comic book like and threatening. He had the voice, he had the presence. And I just seeing him on the screen was just absolutely amazing coming to life. And also, I know this is going to throw us in here. Last thing too is shout out to Martian Manhunter.
yes. I was gonna we'll close out with that at the end.
Okay.
I think the simple fact that we got to see not only Darkseid, but we got to see Mother also. Like she was sitting right next. That's her name.
Oh, Granny Hart. What's her name? Granny. Here, help us out here. I mean, you are one of our comic book experts. Granny Goodness?
Granny Goodness. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So okay. Granny right. Goodness sitting right there. Like she's standing side by side with Darkseid. That was crazy. That was perfect.
That was beautiful. It was
perfect. Perfect representation.
Yes. I love that last scene.
What, seeing Darkseid? It was just like in the Whedon coat, I think we heard of him. We were saying nothing, and in this cut, we were able to see more of Darkseid. And I feel like we finally knew who like the final villain was. Like you know how in the Marvel films we had like Thanos, and in DC we had Darkseid. So we finally saw like who this big villain was, who sent Steppenwolf to Earth, what they were looking for on Earth, not just these boxes. It was something else entirely. And it was just like, it was like the icing. Like it was just like, oh, you know what? This is him. And he will play a bigger role if we get another movie. Like, you know, we just saw bits of him.
And it was just enough.
It was just enough, exactly. It was just enough to know this is the real bad guy. It wasn't Steppenwolf, the real bad guy. He was just his little, you know, his little goon that sent on stuff like that. So I enjoyed seeing it. I cannot wait. I'm hoping there is another Justice League movie. I don't know if anyone else is on board.
There better be.
There should be. I mean, Snyder's playing it cool right now.
Yeah, Snyder's playing it cool, but Twitter is in the uproar. They are hashtagging the hell out of it. Restore the Snyderverse.
Yes, I've seen that. Do you have to at this point? Because go ahead. You have to.
Yeah.
Yes. No, go ahead.
I did. Brother Wade, what is your take on Darkseid showing up finally, the big baddie?
Threatening, a menace, didn't do much, but made his point and got it across very, very well. I loved how he was like talking about Steppenwolf a little bit. He redeemed himself in this movie. We got the true version we were supposed to get of what he was. I loved how Darkseid was like, yo, I've crushed worlds before. There's nothing else I have to do. It'll be light work. And it felt so menacing every time he popped on screen. It meant something. It meant like, yo, business picked up. It's going to be a problem. Loved how he was. Loved how he portrayed. I even loved after, and I hate to bring this up because it's what happened, Steppenwolf getting tossed in the air, getting decapitated. Oh. He just stepped on the head like, he stepped on the head like, okay. He was like, he was like, nothing.
Yeah, like, I felt like he stepped like, okay. on him like as if he stepped like on a piece of poop, but he didn't
care. Like trash. Yeah, like he was trash. He was like you could
trash anyway, man. Like,
but that's
what yeah, he, just stepped on the head.
He, you know, he said at the end, he was like, I told you, Steppenwolf was fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one thing I have to admit that I liked difference wise between Whedon and Snyder's cut, it wasn't Steppenwolf who fought the Amazons, the Atlanteans, the new gods. It wasn't him. You remember that in the Whedon cut? It was Steppenwolf who fought them and then got pulled away because he failed.
Yeah, the ending battle scene.
Right. Yep. The battle scene, you know, that basically kicks it all off. What I loved is that it wasn't Steppenwolf and Snyder's cut. It was Darkseid. Darkseid went to Earth looking for the anti-life equation. And they get the he already had the mother boxes. The mother boxes weren't even an issue.
Yeah.
He was looking for the anti-life equation. No one ever. Yo, Whedon didn't even bring that up. Not once.
Young Darkseid. Young Darkseid, too.
And it was a young Darkseid. It was that. I crush worlds. I pick things up and look and put things down. Darkseid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I will body every planet looking for this anti-life equation. And that's what we got story-wise. And it makes so much more sense.
It does.
It makes so much more sense.
But we can talk about this movie for hours. We can talk about some of the cool Easter eggs, like finding out Lois was pregnant. That was interesting to find out, and you know, that was a cool Easter egg. There's so many Easter eggs
showing up.
Oh, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna close with this. This is what I wanted to discuss: the prologue.
Yes,
the prologue of the movie with the two cut scenes which were altered. Because I'm gonna tell you guys something. All right, so this was something I got off air. My good brother, my brother, legit, my best friend, one of my best friends in the world. Had hit me up from Canada and said, yo, did you know that basically what happened is the Martian Manhunter meeting Bruce Wayne scene isn't the original scene that Snyder had cut? And I said, what are you talking about? He's like, that was one of the reshoot scenes that they had to do over, because in his original cut, Bruce meets the Green Lanterns. And they're basically delivering to him that news that something big was coming, something, an element was coming up. And the other reshot scene, which Zack Snyder said he would even shoot in his backyard, was the Batman-Joker interaction, because he said on record, if that did not happen and that movie were just put out the way it was, it would be his biggest regret. He got Jared Leto, he got everybody involved. And funny enough, I'm going to say this again, Jared Leto and Ben Affleck weren't even in the same room when they filmed their scenes. They were in a soundstage, but not together. So that's why it looks different cuts, and they made it work. And Snyder made it work. So my question is to everybody, and this is where we'll close it, because I've ranted on about how much I love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It is in my top five DCEU movies. I'm going to hand it off to Hill Karm. What did you think of the epilogues? All of them together, one shot. Here, floor is yours.
All right. Epilogues. What do we start with? Oh, okay. I guess we can start with Lex Luthor breaking out of the prison, and that end scene completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And him basically kind of like Deathstroke, like, hey, oh, you want to know who Batman really is? And he just like basically told him who he was, and we're like, that's not how it ended in the other one. I'm like, okay.
Which was the setup Affleck's movie.
Exactly. Which we're getting, I think. And then I think the one that gave me my goosebumps was the nightmare or the premonition that Bruce was having. That one, to see how, you know, we got that in the Whedon one. We did get something similar, not that one, but we got something kind of like that in here. And this one, it gave me goosebumps because it was like, you see them and you see that there is nothing left. It's like a vast desert. You know, the permission he had earlier came true, basically. You know, we don't have Wonder Woman, we don't have Aquaman, we just got left with just Cyborg, Batman, who I feel is like, I love him, but I guess like Batman's always like the last lone survivor sometimes. We got him and, you know, and Flash, and we also had Mira, and it was like you saw what happened. And the one thing, you know, him, Batman and Joker scene, what they said to each other, I was just like, oh, what is happening? I can't believe it. And everything they said back to each other, even bringing up Boy Wonder, that one was like, I was, whoo, man. Seeing that, their interaction, I said, I got goosebumps at the end watching that. And I told you, babe, you have to hurry up and finish it. This epilogue, huh? I mean, you have to. It was so good. And then at the end, when he woke up and he realized, oh shit, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh man, was this real? Was this a nightmare? Is this really gonna happen? Like, and he just got up and he heard it, and then like Martian Manhunter being there, I was like, yay. But he did tell him something big is happening, and they kind of give you throughout the movie that this is the something big. It's that premonition that Batman had. That's how Snyder ended it, and we're all like, wait, where's the next movie? I need to see what happens. Is this really happen? Is Lois really the key? Like, and to see Batman, I mean, to see Batman, like, how, you know, at this point he looked older in his premonition, and to see Superman come and you see like those glowing red evil eyes, it was just like, yeah, I really can't wait for the next one. So yes, I enjoyed everything. The epilogue was one of my favorite parts from the movie. Everything leading to that was just like, oh, that's how you end it.
I agree.
Go ahead. Let us know what you think. We want to know.
Give us your opinion.
You're one of our comic book experts here. You're one of the people we come to for these things. Go ahead. I want you to go off. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go off real quick. I mean, you know, to end it, really, just my final thoughts on everything. I just think that this movie was amazing. I give it 11 out of 10 because how can you not enjoy something that was still fresh? Some of the scenes were not the same, but they were the same, but they were a little bit different because of the colors, scenes that we were talking about, and just the way it was delivered. I think the deliverance was a small bit different, and it cut out some unnecessary scenes, which I really liked and appreciated, like you guys are mentioning. I can talk about the characters all day. I just like how the most important thing I'm going to say is just the origin, because origin stories are important. I think people don't realize that, because when you go into theaters, you want to know what's going on to an extent, right? I mean, sometimes there's a joy of going in and not knowing what's going on. But when it comes to superhero movies, it gets confusing. So you got to make sure that the audience knows who these characters are. So I can talk about all these characters all day, but I'm glad. I think that, you know, ex-wife, I think you did a great job of explaining each character, really. So I think you broke it down for us, how well that Zack Snyder developed these characters, and that how it's different from the Whedon version, because we know how we feel about that. But long story short, I just think that this movie was really, I think Zack Snyder has always been underrated. I've been praising him from the very beginning. This is the man who's made 300. This is the man who's made Dawn of the Dead and Sucker Punch. All the visuals are beautiful. And this movie is just, I think it's his biggest movie ever. And I'm just so glad that we finally got to see his vision. And I think the comics are definitely a huge role in this. Like, there's so many things they took from the comics, from the suits, from the stories, from the characters, and even like you guys mentioned, with Granny Goodness just being thrown in the side, yes, in that portal. I was just like, what? there's just so much to unravel about this. It was literally, I saw, I was saying, defining superhero, like, because this is a superhero film. Some other movies are maybe entitled, like, or maybe have the title superhero, but they don't feel like it. This movie felt like a superhero film from the in and out.
Couldn't agree more. See, many, you know, 100%. I'm gonna take off what you said a little bit. Every other movie we gotten was a comic book film. This is a superhero movie. Heck, you wanna close us out a little bit before we get it, you know, before we get into handling the socials and all that?
Sure. So, hands down, I agree with everyone. I think the nightmare scene was fantastic. I liked the fact that we got to see the heroes beaten and battered and broken. Because let's face it, at the end, they're broken. Their worlds have been broken, their spirit, their bodies have been mangled beyond belief. Mira's just at this point, she just gives like zero Fs and she's just all about throwing hands. She don't care. Joker was just reckless at the mouth. And not for nothing, this is the Joker I wanted. This is the Joker we needed, especially for Suicide Squad. Not gangsta, you want a beef? Not that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I like the fact that Batman just turned around and looked at him and he was like, look, like, not for nothing. You want to go tit for tat? I could do that with you. He goes, you want to talk about Boy Wonder? Guess what? Harz was begging me to take your ass out.
Yep.
As she was dying in my arms. And he was like, oh, I like what you did there. You know what I mean? Like, I liked the fact that they played off of each other so well, even in the fact that they weren't in the same room when they shot it. Martian Manhunter showing up, fantastic. It's about damn time that we got to see him. It should have happened, I want to say, probably. Well, they hinted at it in BVS.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah.
They mentioned it a lot.
I love that we finally got to see him in this film, not once, but twice. So that was great. Again, for me personally, this doesn't feel like a 4-hour film. This is exactly what we needed. Zack Snyder delivered a vision. He has the idea. He had a plan specifically in place for everything to go through. If they do restore the Snyderverse, you need to do what I have clamored on and I have said before. You need to give him a Feige-type role. Let him quarterback this thing from beginning to end and let him see it all the way through. The man has a vision in place. Let him show you his vision. Clearly, it is the right path for what they need to do for DC.
Let him be Santa Claus, take the reins, and drop us off presents every year.
That'd be great. And you know what the funny thing is? Another news story that's been circulating a little bit before we wrap up is Zack Snyder may be in collabs to work with Patty Jenkins on Wonder Woman 3.
So we're going to get the sympathetic and the warrior.
In one movie.
Ooh, that's going to be amazing.
Yes, agreed. It's going to be an amazing thing. See, our pets are both excited about this movie. They're excited about our review. They loved it. They loved the movie. They give it 5 barks out of 5. You know what it is around here. We're a family unit. Exactly. We keep it. We keep everybody in the loop in this show. Yeah, that's what we do
babies,
here. The babies loved it. We got dogs. Everybody.
We got frogs, cats, snakes, all of that.
We got all that. But I want to thank our special guests, Hill Karm and Hero Harrison Talk, for coming on our show. We love it. We love you. We would love to have you on again for other things.
Yes.
You want to plug the socials or you want me to do it?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Big Heck and Wade on Twitter at Big Heck Wade EDV. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Big Heck Wade Adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you we will get the Twitch stream up and running at some point in time. I am looking for all of the equipment I need to get a Smash Brothers stream going. We do have a Twitch channel, which is Big Heck Wade Adventures. We also have a merchandise store, which is at Big Heck and Wade. It is on tpublic.com. So just go to tpublic.com/Big Heck Wade. You can find us there. We are also part of a lavish, amazing, and wonderful network called the Fourth Wall Pop Network, where we like to hashtag
make it pop.
Absolutely. You can catch us on any streaming platform. Ladies and gentlemen, And as of this episode right here, right meow,
right now,
you're going to find us on two different streams. You're going to find us on Big Heck Wait Adventure on any platform. And you're also going to find us on the Fourth Wall Pop Network.
Yep, that was made exclusively today. That will be happening. Also, if you want to talk to us, just us by ourselves, on our own social media about Justice League, because we love to talk about it. We will talk about it till we're blue in the face. You can follow me at Wade Ilson on Twitter, and also at Wade Ilson on underscore on Instagram. If you want to follow Big Heck, I'll let Big Heck knock it out real quick.
You guys can find me at BigHeck217 on both Twitter and on Instagram.
Yes, indeed. Now, Harrison, please let us know where we can find you in all your luxurious episodes and work, because honestly, you give us history lessons when it comes to things, and I learned so much. By the way, love your Luke Cage episode. That's just me being a fanboy here, but go ahead.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, just to close it out, thank y'all so much for having me on the show. First off, it's been great. I can talk to y'all. You know, we talk backstage about this all the time, so I'm sure we will, you know, but we always talk about superhero stuff, and I love just providing people information and also learning too, because I'm still learning as well. But you can find me on all social media platforms across the board: Twitch, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Hero Harrison Talk. So make sure to follow me on there for all the updated podcasts and latest news that's coming your way.
Yes, indeed. Heel Carm, you want to share your socials, or shall we just move on?
Social media, it's just I have also two kids and a full-time job. But if you are
shout out to the babies.
I'm also at Twitter. I'm at Bella317 and the Heel Carm. On I also have an Instagram. You guys can follow me on that one. That one's kind of long, but I will give you the name for that one. It is Carmen_Ari_Emmy_Heck. That's me on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook also. I do not have a Snapchat. I think I do, but I don't remember it. And I don't do TikTok either. I'm too old to learn that. But yes, you can follow me on those if you like. You guys know I always enjoy coming on here. Maybe one day I will finally get the strength to do my own podcast, but that will probably be.
Which has been in the works for over a year now.
I can't wait. Oh, there's some big stuff coming from Big Heck and Wade, as well as you know, other things down the road. Anything else anybody want to add before I close with our big special announcement that I wanted to talk about?
Oh yeah, I have a TikTok, guys. Believe it or not, my old ass has a TikTok.
So do I.
You guys can find me at BigHack217 on TikTok.
And you can find me on TikTok at Wade Ilson. But the big announcement is, and we're going to close it after this, guys. I know we said we're going to close it like a million times, but this is legit. We're closing it. Next week, our special episode, we will have a very special guest, as we will be covering Falcon and Winter Soldier episodes 1 and 2. And let's just say the special guest is very elite, and it's also a fanboy. I am going to let Heck figure that out. I'm just saying.
Is he coming?
We'll talk about it off here. Shh. No details.
Wait. Is he finally going to get on the episode with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about it off here. I love his excitement in his voice. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to handle the outro this time.
Yes, you are.
We love you. We will see you next week with a brand new episode. This is Wade. That's Big Heck. Heel Carm. Hero Harrison Talk. And I'm going to end this one like we usually do, with a peace, a salute, and we're out. Later.
Peace.